Okay, now, I don't know about you, but this has been a long winter. And every time I get up here, I want to take a little break. Okay, I want to get out of that harshness out there and have a little bit of fun. It's better today, so we can have even more fun. Okay? So what I have decided to do today is to teach you a new song. Frank wants it. How about the rest of you? You didn't say anything. You want to learn a new song? Okay, now let me just tell you that this song comes out of my Scandinavian background. It is Norwegian, I think. It is definitely not Danish. Danes would never do anything like this. Okay? I mean, Danes are into marketing the thing. Okay? They're going to put it out there and sell it. Okay, now Swedes would never do this. Okay, Swedes don't even speak to each other. Never do anything like this. But Norwegians. Now, Norwegians know how to have fun. So today, we are going to be, for a little bit, just a little bit, we're all going to become Norwegian. Okay, now there are, in the congregation, some people who are definitely Norwegian, but they don't know it. And in order to do this properly, I need some background singers, okay? So I am about to introduce you to the secret Norwegians in our congregation. Are you ready? Here they come. Watch. They're going to come up here when I call their names. First is Todd. Todd had no idea that he was Norwegian. And next is Scott. Now, when you look at Scott, there is no doubt, Norwegian. Okay? And next to him is Jeff. And then there is Glenn. Did you notice how they all gather in the back row? Norwegians love the back row. No, up here, right here. My background singers. Okay, now one of the newest Norwegians in the congregation is Chuck Hosick. Look at him. Is he not Norwegian all over the place? And the best Norwegian of the lot is Phil. Look at this face. It is Norwegian. And we have one young Norwegian, Ryan. Now,
I'm American.
Not today, you're not, buddy. Okay. You look at them. Are they not Norwegian or what? Yes. Okay. Now, they don't know the song, I think. Okay, what's that? And I don't know whether the words are on the back screen or not. No, so you may have to turn around to sing. Okay? All right? Okay? But the words for the song are going to come up there. And I'm going to teach you the song. I'll do the first verse for you. I'm getting Norwegian. You hear? I'm getting there. Okay? I'm going to sing the song. Okay? But I want you all to sing along. Okay? If you know the song, you can start singing from the beginning. Okay? Now, the name of the song is What Will the Birdies Do Now? The Poor Things. Do you know the song? Anybody know the song? Here we go. Are you ready? It goes like this. It's been a long winter. You have to say winter. Because you are Norwegians. And for whatever reason, God made it impossible for Norwegians to say W correctly. They always say V, not W. So it's been a long winter. And what will the birdies do now, the poor tings? They always say tings. Tings. They'll fly to the south and wear themselves out and cover their heads with their wings, the poor things. You ready? You ready? Got it? We'll try it now, everybody. You ready? It's been a long future. And what will the birdies do now? The poor things, they'll fly to the south and wear themselves out and cover their heads with their wings. The poor things. God, it's been a long springtime. And what will the birdies do now? The poor things. They'll fly to the skies and dry themselves out and cover their heads with their wings, the poor things. It's been a long summer, we hope. And what will the birdies do now, the poor things? They'll fly to the pool to keep themselves cool and cover their heads with their wings, the poor things. It's been a long autumn. And what will the birdies do now, the poor things? They'll fly to the barn just to keep themselves warm and cover their heads with their wings, the poor things. Yay! Thank you. You may return to your seats, Norwegians. The Norwegians think that if there is one more storm, I may lose my mind. And some of you may well be saying, senility has set in. Pray hard for our poor pastor, deporting. But I want you to know that that's not the case. Because the birdies, deportings, know something that is proclaimed in the scripture, which many, many, many people today have forgotten. You ready? Here it comes. This is what the birdies know. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, or winter, day and night, will never cease. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. The birdies know that the weather and the conditions of nature move in regularly ordained cycles. They are called seasons. And there are some years when the winter is hot, and others when it is cold. Sometimes we get 2 inches of snow. Sometimes we get 62 inches of snow. If you listen to the television and the weather station, you know that when it is cold in Coatesville, it is warm someplace else. And catch this. It has been working that way since the day after Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And so it will remain until the end of time. God's word declares it. Now I want you to know before I move on that the seasons and the cycles of nature that we endure are anthropologically, something like that. I'm Swedish, Danish, and Norwegian. They're caused by man. You with me? There were no seasons in the Garden of Eden. The way God designed it, it was perfectly placid, peaceful, and always warm. We messed it up. Man has caused nature to cycle. Now keep that in mind as we move on here. Now, let me speak to you for just a moment from the perspective of science. And let me confess to you before I do so, that I am not a scientist. Don't even want to be a scientist. See, I pursue a higher discipline of study than science. I am a theologian, a student of theology. I study God. And throughout all of the history of mankind, the highest discipline of study among us has been the study of God. You know why? Because when you study God, you're dealing with truth and not humanistic conjecture. Theology is the study of truth. But for a moment, I just want to pretend that I am a scientist. And what I want to say to you is this. 9 out of 10 scientists agree that today, at this very moment in time, we are facing what they have dubbed dramatic climate change. They tell us that there are 11 specific signs or proofs that we are experiencing climate change. You ready? Number one is rising temperatures. Now, here's what I want to tell you. Okay, see, I don't want to argue with any of this stuff. I don't want to get into the argument of it. It has been really one cold, warm winter if we're experiencing rising temperatures. That's enough. I just didn't say that. Okay, so rising temperatures, changing weather patterns, more severe droughts. When the snow melts, we ain't having one. Warming oceans, rising sea levels, wilder weather, increased ocean activity, shrinking sea ice, melting glaciers, less snowpack. Mine is not quite as packed as it was yesterday. Falling frost. Got it. Okay, now, when you do that Norwegian thing, it gets your tongue all twisted up for the rest of the day. Now, as I said, I am not a scientist, and I don't want to argue any of those 11 signs with you. You can tell I'm somewhat doubtful, given the winter. But it's not my point or my intention to argue all of that. I want to speak to you, not as a scientist, but as a Bible scholar and a theologian. So hang with me, okay? Here's what it's important in what I'm saying, just so you catch it. The U.S. National Academy of Sciences, the International Academy of Science, the Geological Society of America, the American Physical Science Society, the American Meteorological Society, it's fun to say these words, the American Medical Association, the American Geophysical Union, the American Chemical Society, the Association of... I could keep going and going and going and going. They all agree that we are experiencing dramatic climate change. They also all agree with the scripture, believe it or not, that you and I are the cause of that climate change. It's anthropological. It is because of our sin. Now, they don't use the word sin because they're not theologians. They talk about the way we use resources. But they're agreed. We are causing the change. So, consider what it is that Jesus said in the very passage of Scripture that we have been discussing for the last 3 weeks. You ready? He gives us signs. Sign number one. When you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies. And remember that when we talked about that specific sign several weeks ago, I told you that it happened in 70 AD, that marked the beginning of the end of time, for Jerusalem was crushed by her enemies. But what I want you to think about today for just a minute is how many times in the history of the world the city of Jerusalem has been surrounded by enemies. How many times has that occurred since Jesus said it would happen And how many times have you and I, in our own lifetime, seen the holy city surrounded by armies who want to crush the Jews? There may be no army around Jerusalem at the moment, but certainly in that part of the world, she is surrounded still by enemies. Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, when Jerusalem is under siege, remember that the end of time is at hand. Got it? Sign number two. When you see the children of God persecuted by the governments of this world. Folks, I told you when we talked about this sign last week that it is happening even today. God's children around the world are being persecuted because they profess that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord. The rejection of Christianity, even here in this land in which we now live, is increasingly obvious every day. We no longer want to stand on the founding principles of our nation, which come directly from the Word of God. We want to argue about the authority of the Bible over us, don't we? The point is that what's happening is the persecution of Christians by the world's governments. It's happening today. Sign number three from the text that was read to you today. Jesus says, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. The sea will roar, and heavenly bodies will be shaken. You know how to translate that? There will be dramatic climate changes. Jesus himself proclaimed it. So if the scientists are correct, this is the moment. And we should look up. For sign number four, Jesus will come in a cloud with power and great glory, and all flesh, meaning you and me and everybody else, all people everywhere, will see his coming together. And those of us who know him as Savior and Lord will rejoice when we see him, because we will know that in him our redemption draws nigh. We will know that the moment of our salvation is at hand. Glory be to God. Now the question of the day is, what do the birdies know now, the poor things? Is this the moment about which Jesus spoke in the scripture? Is this the day when the skies will open and Jesus will appear? The fact is that if the scientists are right, this could be that day. Except there are no armies surrounding Jerusalem. The temple, which has to be destroyed, is not yet even built there. And maybe what we are experiencing is what the birdies already know. Nature moves in cycles. Perhaps this is just a normal movement of things. And next winter, we might not have any snow. But listen to me. Jesus told us that day will come. It will come. And we will see the clouds roll back and the skies open up like a scroll. And before our eyes, Jesus will appear. And oh, my friends, what will the birdies do then, the poor things?